It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today. We are going to be discussing end-of-life care, specifically palliative care. My guests today are both from the Androscoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice. I have with me Dr. Shauna McElrath, who is the medical director of the palliative care program at Androscoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice, and Kathy Amston, who is the palliative care educator and supervisor for social work services. Thank you both so much for coming up today and being with me in the studio. I know it's kind of a hike, and I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
So what is, Kathy, I'll come to you first. What is palliative care? What does that mean?
Palliative means to ease the distress of serious illness. And so palliative care is all about doing that. And palliative care as a branch of medicine was specialized when we began to have a lot of choices for folks with serious illness. And to navigate that became more and more complicated. And so we had to create a palliative care process to help and program to help people navigate that. And that may be for pain and symptom management that is physical related. It may be distress that's caused by emotional, psychosocial kinds of issues. It may be existential or spiritual kinds of distress that folks have when they're facing a serious illness.
So palliative care is different than hospice.
Hospice is always palliative care, but it is the care in hospice is that latter part of the palliative care when there is a Medicare benefit that covers 6 months or less. I think your other podcast described that incredibly well from our colleagues, Dr. Hart and Karen Flynn.
So be sure to listen to the podcast.
Absolutely. But palliative care before hospice is to ease that distress, could be from the point of diagnosis throughout the course or the trajectory, we call it, or the course of the illness, and across time as the illness changes or all the complexity of decisions that have to be made and symptoms that have to be managed to advanced care planning that we do to help assist with plans of care.
And so palliative care, though, for someone to qualify, they would need to have a diagnosis with a terminal prognosis?
Would you say? Not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily need to be a terminal illness. Palliative care is focused on a serious illness. So this is anything that is impacting function in a significant way. It could be impacting life expectancy, but a lot of times we are helping patients and families understand an illness that may progress over time, could be many years, and it could have a very different course. So some examples of serious illness can be Parkinson's disease, which at the time of its diagnosis is not necessarily a terminal illness, and people could have many years of function and life and quality of life, but it is an illness that will progress over time.
So an illness that there's no cure for, basically.
Oftentimes there's not a cure. Sometimes we are involved with patients with a cancer that maybe there is a chance of cure, but it's going to be a very intensive treatment and they need a lot of support in terms of emotional support, helping to define their values and goals of care, and also symptom management so that they can tolerate an intensive treatment that could potentially lead to cure.
How does someone get on palliative care? Do they call you themselves, or does their primary care person say they've just had this diagnosis and I think they need more supports?
Palliative care does not operate alone. We operate in conjunction and coordination and cooperation with the other healthcare providers. So we don't take over the care. So if there's a primary care physician or an oncologist or cardiologist that is involved, they're aware of and they are asking for us and welcoming us to be a part of that care team and to help assist with some of these kinds of conversations and pain and symptom management.
It's a very collaborative team, and one of the emphasis for palliative care is it's an interdisciplinary team, because there are so many facets of care that go into providing good care in a serious illness. So it requires clinicians and providers, like physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, nurses, but also social workers, chaplains, volunteers, just a very broad interdisciplinary team to come along that patient and family.
So when people want to receive our services, they frequently will ask their physician for an order and referral to us from our at Anderskogen Home Healthcare and Hospice. They'll ask for palliative care for a nurse practitioner or a physician provider to do a consult. Or it may be that they're seen in their home care program and there's a request for a social worker to go out to do a goals of care conversation. So it can be lots of different ways that people access our services.
Do you find that people understand what palliative care is, or are there myths around palliative care? What are you hearing from patients?
I think one of the things I've encountered the most is a misunderstanding that palliative care means end of life care, or that palliative care means hospice, and many patients and families misunderstand of hospice meaning the last days. So palliative care can occur throughout the illness, from a time of diagnosis, anytime a patient and family needs support, and through the whole course of the illness. And one thing I would encourage patients and families and loved ones is if your loved one or you yourself have a serious illness that may be progressing over time and really starting to impact function or giving you daily symptoms, and a provider or member of your healthcare team suggests a palliative care consult, to be open to that and sitting down with those individuals, because this is a support team, and the palliative care team really just wants to sit down with you, understand your goals, understand what your own knowledge is of your illness, and help you prepare, and then also address any of those distressing symptoms that you may have.
Do you think that people, are they ever in denial? They don't want to call you because that feels like maybe the final step once they've been diagnosed and it feels hospice-y?
I think a lot of people want to maintain a hope for the best thing, the hope for the best in terms of that their treatment will work, and it's coping. It's an ability to stay present and cope with a serious illness is to try to hope for the best. And so when we're there to be with them and to walk with them and in their hopes and in their goals, if that's what they are, we're also there to help them prepare for if things weren't to turn out as they hoped, and what would be their wishes, what would be their desires, what would be their wants, what would matter most then to them with whatever time they have left. So it's that gentle approach into those kinds of conversations to help with, as you said, denial. But it's like it's fear in it, and worry, and I think that goes along with anybody diagnosed with a serious illness.
And signing up for palliative care, though, is you don't stop treatment. You don't just keep them comfortable. They still can go on with getting treatment, working to fight the disease. Is that right?
Correct. Yes, palliative care often occurs alongside active treatments for a variety of chronic illnesses. Patients with cancer are receiving chemotherapy or radiation treatment. Patients with congestive heart failure are going into the hospital for some medications and support of their lungs and their heart, and rebalancing of if they've got too much fluid on board. And the palliative care team kind of walks that journey with them, all the time checking in to optimize symptom management as much as possible and make sure that the path they are on for their health care is meeting their goals and helping them to achieve what they want to achieve.
So what is the benefit of palliative care? What are you doing differently or in addition to what their primary care provider would do for them as they see them through this journey as well?
So I think that the benefit is that you need to start early with these conversations. We really believe that moving these conversations upstream before we get really sick, before we can't have those conversations, before families aren't prepared with what your loved one may want or not want. There are so many things that you are faced with choices, from aggressive interventions in an ICU and life-sustaining treatment, that we have to really think about all of those things ahead of time.
When we come back, we'll talk more about the benefits of palliative care and what it actually does from a real patient standpoint. So stay with us. There is much more to come with Andrew Scoggin, Home Health Care and Hospice. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, discussing palliative care, what it is, what it isn't. So when we left, we were talking about exactly what happened. So you see your provider and they're giving you the best care possible. What are the benefits of taking that to the next level of doing palliative care? Why bring that in?
So I think one of the benefits, well, several of the benefits that our consultations can provide is when we sit down with a patient and family, one of the things that we explore with is their own understanding of their illness. And we really do have the time to go through layers of history that maybe a primary care provider who's been seeing someone for several years doesn't have the time to do in a 15 to 20 minute visit. And so we really do get a good sense of what the patient understands of their illness. We can explore their understanding of how this illness will progress over time. A lot of times we're offering to take questions back to their primary care provider or their specialist. So again, including that provider in the ongoing conversation. The other thing that we have time to do is really explore and delve into distressing symptoms. And a lot of our consultations then provide recommendations back to those providers of additional symptom management options that maybe have been tried in the past or have not been explored yet and may actually really help to benefit and control those symptoms.
And this would be done in someone's home.
Yes.
So they're not sitting in a waiting room or sitting in an exam room trying to have these conversations, which is another benefit.
These palliative care can be offered in a hospital. It can be offered in clinics. It can be offered in the home, depending on, there's several palliative care options throughout the state of Maine.
And where the patient's most comfortable.
Yes, we and Andrew Scoggin Home Health Care and Hospice do have a home-based palliative care program. And I think that the other offering that is very beneficial to patients is to have the time to have their family in their home, in their living room, at their table, and they're talking about what their wishes are, what they want, what they don't want. There's a lot of complicated choices for people nowadays, and they don't really understand often what all of those choices are, but they know what they want and what they don't want when we can talk clearly to them about, after they've understood their illness, what these values, what their beliefs, what their preferences are, and match that up with a treatment plan or a direction that will most meet what they want. And so that's an incredibly important part of a goals of care conversation. And as Shauna said, it takes so much time to do that.
And you're not replacing, I just want to make this really clear, you're not replacing the primary care. You're just kind of ramping up that care and also connecting with the primary care person. So you may be able to, and correct me if I'm wrong, ascertain some of the concerns the patient has that they might not be able to verbalize to their doctor, but you can do that. You can get down to it and then take that to the doctor. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
So you all work together in your medical professionals, so physicians and social workers and nurses and have that experience and education to be able to do that.
And correct? To navigate those conversations and also to document those conversations. We do a lot with advanced care planning documents like advanced directives, power of attorneys for medical decision making, to what's called a POLST form, which is physicians' orders for life-sustaining treatment options, and what people want in terms of whether or not they want to be resuscitated. those forms and those documents help to document that patient's wishes and put them in place, be it in their primary hospital, in the primary care physician office, in their home care service as well. So we work a lot with putting those things in place as well.
Is palliative care covered by insurance? Is it Medicare covered, or private insurance, or private pay? How does one fund this if they're listening and think, I really want to do this?
So many of the palliative care services are consultation based, and so they are covered by Medicare or private insurance, because particularly when you're seeing the nurse practitioner or the physician, it's a consultative model, so it's like going to see another specialist. I think there are a lot of growing models of care that are even being submitted to the federal government for coverage of a more, what I hope to see in the future, a more robust in-home support program, much like home health care, much like hospice, but to provide the case management of nursing services, the support of the social work team, chaplain support, and those clinician providers and their physicians and nurse practitioners.
And at Androscoggin, the social work team that I supervise, I'm a specialist in palliative care, but I'm in charge of all the social workers that go into the home for home care. So they're being taught to have these conversations so that when they are eligible for their home care benefit, for skilled rehab, for recovery from if they've gotten out of the hospital and they have a nursing need, then they can have those conversations under their home care benefit.
When we come back, we'll talk more about palliative care and planning for this in advance and what you can do about that. If you'd like to hear this show again, log on to WVOMFM.com and you can hear it in podcast form. Stay with us. We'll be right back. There is much more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. So, palliative care. During the break, Kathy, you were saying everyone should have an advance directive.
Yes, an advance directive is something that gives guidance for if something happens to us when we're perfectly healthy. We have a car accident. We have something that occurs. We need to have some guidance for who's going to be the voice for us to speak for us if we can't speak for ourselves. The power of attorney for medical decision making, and what would be our wishes if we were faced something like that. The advance directive can change over time. We can change it as many times as we want. And oftentimes people with serious illness revisit that at different parts throughout their illness. They might have an advance directive that says one thing early on in their condition, but that revisit that and change that as time goes on.
And palliative care would be part of an advance directive.
We certainly revisit advance directives and patients' wishes and making sure they're documented appropriately, yes, across the trajectory of their illness, the course of their illness.
So I want to get down to exactly when palliative care is appropriate. So if someone's diagnosed with a mild case of COPD, they probably don't need to go on palliative care. They're still working. They're fine. They wouldn't go on palliative care then.
Correct. That's correct. And COPD is a very good example because that is an illness that tends to start out mild and then it does progress over time. And there are lots of different factors that can impact how quickly someone's illness progresses. But yes, correct. At the time of a COPD diagnosis, there's not a large role for the palliative care team. Much can be managed with their primary care provider, and then seeing a specialist and pulmonary specialist can help manage those symptoms. As the illness progresses, what most individuals with COPD find is they start to undergo daily symptoms, fatigue, shortness of breath, and they often find themselves going in and out of the hospital with sudden flares and exacerbations, often complicated by infections like pneumonia. And so if someone has had COPD for 15 years, and now they're starting to have shortness of breath when they're walking through their home, they were just prescribed oxygen to wear at times, then that becomes all the time. And now maybe we look back and they've been in the hospital four times in the last 5 months. That would be a time to have conversations focused on goals of care and symptom management so that patients can understand what's likely to happen as time progresses and how their values, how their goals fit into that. I mean, many people at the end of a chronic illness say they don't want to be in the hospital for much of their time. They want to be home. Or some people that have considered and explored and imagined what their end of life might look like. I mean, that can be a frightening thing. Not everyone has done that. But for those that have, and they say, I want to be home. I want my symptoms controlled. I want my family around me. That requires planning and discussion and conversation, because the default of our healthcare system is hospitalization and hospitalization and more interventions. And so a lot of folks, without this planning and conversation, sometimes they're so sick, they die in the hospital. And if they've had some time to reflect and think about how they would want their end of their story to be, and they want to be at home, there needs to be planning and support in place for that.
Are there triggers for palliative care? So someone who has a chronic illness would know, oh, maybe it's time I do this now, and before they get really sick, and then it's just a short time before hospice. Kathy?
I think, as Shauna was talking about, they're going back and forth to the emergency room more. They're going in the hospital more. They're spending more time in the hospital. They may have had a diagnosis of metastatic cancer. The cancer's moved from one area of their body to more than several other areas of their body. They may be having, as Shauna was saying, more symptoms that are harder to manage. That's the progression of various diseases. I think it's very important also to say, when Shauna was talking about planning and where do we want a good death? Where do we want that to happen? What would that look like? Who's going to take care of me? Some of the practical things that we need to think about. If we are growing more fatigued, more short of breath, we can't cook our food anymore, what are we going to do, and who's going to take care of us and help us with those functional kinds of decline?
We're almost out of time. I want to make sure that we get your information out there. If someone's interested in this and they want to speak with you, what is the website and what's the phone number to call?
They should, first of all, speak with their primary care physician and request an order for palliative care for a goals of care discussion or for pain and symptom management, and then request that provider to ask for that order to be sent to our intake department at Anderskogen Home Health Care and Hospice at 777-7740.
777-7740. That's a great number. Kathy Emston and Dr. Shauna McAlrath, thank you so much for being here on Senior Talk. Give me the number one more time, super quick.
777-7740.
777-7740. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk with Anderskogen Home Health Care and Hospice. Thanks for listening.